This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the lead stories are MoviePass. These losers are changing the deal again. Amazon. They want to move buy a movie theater near you. Found some free Mac apps that look pretty cool. And do you guys remember YubiKey? We've talked about YubiKey a long time ago. Well, there's some news and some interesting history out about that. I want to welcome you to episode 1306 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, August 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the brand new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. If you're checking the show out for the very first time, this is a great time to be part of the podcast because we're changing, and we'll talk about that a little bit during the show today. But more importantly, I want you to get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Get over on the website. When you're over there, subscribe via Apple Podcast on Android via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. There's just all kinds of ways to subscribe to the show. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, just click on the more subscribe options. You can scroll down a little further as well and get subscribed to our newsletter. Definitely review the great content on the website. This is really important. Lots of good information there for you. When you're, again, get hooked up, get connected. That way we'll always be together. I guess that's the best word for it. But lots of ways to listen to the show. You can watch the show via Geek News Central, the video version on your Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device. All you have to do is use the keyword and tell the device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Some devices require a little tweaking, but that gets you pretty close. We're live today on our live page at live.geeknewscentral.com. So don't forget about us being live. We go live typically about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time when I'm in Hawaii or on our Facebook Live page. You can join our chat room. We've got two places for you to connect there. You can go to geeknews.chat, geeknews.chat, or you can just send me an email and let me know that you want to be part of our Slack channel. Either way, get you connected. It's a great way to get connected with the team here. So feel free to do that. Of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, on Twitter, @geeknews as well. Follow me on Facebook. Hey, partner shows include, of course, our good friends over at the Gadget Professor. We got the Pro Gear site being written by my team, the New Media Show, Podcast Legends. All these shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. You can get to those shows. Make sure you get subscribed to them as well. If you're part of the Ohana here, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Grab a t-shirt, a mug. They're there for you to get hooked up with it. Matter of fact, I was in the store today, Sam. First time I've logged into that thing for a while. Yes, looking at it. Looking what we can do different. Open for some ideas. But more importantly, if you're here today, we definitely want you to consider supporting our sponsor. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy. GoDaddy is the longest running continuous sponsor of podcast here, this show at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And today, I told you last show, the promo codes are changing. At the end of the month, we get brand new deals. I cannot guarantee, absolutely cannot guarantee that this is a dollar a month amount economy hosting. And this dollar a month managed WordPress hosting with a free domain is going to remain. Okay. I have started to see some of the deals coming through. They're different. So I'm just giving you a heads up. So the 30% off product, new product purchases, the 99cent.com, the dollar a month economy or dollar a month managed WordPress codes are changing. Those come with free domains, those two offers. Or, of course, the GoDaddy website builder, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is a place to grab these. All these codes are available on the website. You can click them to lock them in, or you can cut and paste at checkout. We definitely want you to do that, though, And we want you to share these codes with your friends, family members, the people that you know. Making a link to the GoDaddy page, telling a friend about this, sharing the codes with family members, folks are talking about getting a website. This is equivalent of almost a year's worth of donation at our base level, okay? At a very, very base level, it's a great way for you to really help the show here by sharing these codes with your family members and friends. I can't stress that enough. And I know many of you have done that over the years, and we definitely appreciate it when you do. But again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, that'll get you on the page. That'll get you into the site, get you the information that you need to get started. I'm telling you, GoDaddy Proxy Services, they've got everything under the sun for you to get online. You need to start a shopping cart. You need to start a business. You need to get connected with business level email, Office 365, you name it. It's all over there. And remember, by doing this, you're supporting the show here. Help us keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the team here engaged. So it's real important. We want to thank all of you for your ongoing support at GoDaddy and this podcast. Okay, so tonight you will have noticed a little different intro to the show, a little bit of same kind of data, almost a little different sequencing. That is the plan here. And I'm going to be tweaking this as we go. I'm going to be making some changes to the show format. The content, I think, will stay the same, but we're going to try to get you into the content a little bit earlier. And we'll see how this works out. If I have luck doing this, I don't know. After so many years of doing the show, it's hard to teach a dog new tricks. But, I was over on the Geek News Central Facebook page the other day, and I really hadn't been paying attention to it. And I made a comment over there, it's time for a change. And someone said, well, you need to post once in a while. You're right. Absolutely right. So I'm going to be probably invoking some help, and maybe I'll invoke help, have Kirk step up and do some stuff on the page, make him an admin over there. So anyway, if you want to help out with the show, many of you have in the past, let me know. Let me know what you want to do in helping out. Always can use support of our listeners, and I'm always open to ideas on how to change the show and make it better. And I think, it's time. It's time for a little mix up. Yeah. I think that's the key here. So hello, Dan, Mark, Rita, everyone. Thanks for the show. I'm glad you guys caught me live. It is, I'm 6 hours. Well, it's 8:11 PM, Mark. That's what time it is here. And it's 11:11 on the West Coast, 2:11 Eastern Standard Time. So what happens is we don't change our clocks. So when you guys roll your clocks, then the time changes to 5 hours. To the East Coast, it's now 6. So I'm going to be headed to Texas on Saturday on travel. So much, much closer. I'm going to Central Standard Time Zone. So Jack, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods, bouncing around your state for a few weeks. And so we should think about meeting up. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be straight up very, very busy while I'm in Texas. This is my first trip to Texas in a while. I'm looking forward to some country fried steak. I'm looking forward to Whataburger. There's a Wings and Things place that I like. And then there's a barbecue. It's all bad stuff. Wings and Things, barbecue, Whataburger, and chicken fried steak. So, and probably, I know a good steak place too, probably a good ribeye or something too. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to enjoying Texas and Texas portions of food. Actually, that's probably the worst thing I'm looking forward to. But anyway, I leave Saturday and get on there very early Sunday. I'm flying to Austin like 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to try to hook up with Adam Curry while I'm there. I got to get him connected, let him know I'm going to be in town. So, kind of a busy time, but I am flying into Austin. So I do want to mention here, I've made a decision, and you guys are the first to know about this. We already talked about CES and me scaling back. And I've made a really big decision. I am going to go to CES by myself. I am not, and Kirk, I know you're probably very disappointed in hearing this, but I've made the decision to throttle back big time on our CES coverage. And a lot of this has to do with we had put in a huge amount of work with the show. And remember, I pulled back from live for a year. We shifted to the startup area. It was great. Still is great. That's where I plan on spending the majority of my time. But definitely not going to do what I've done in years past. I may change my mind in 2 weeks. I don't know. But I think for right now, my plan is to go get some coverage, talk to companies, do networking. And this is part of the idea behind some of the show change up is I want to do some of these CES type interviews here in the seat over Skype, where I can have them live. I can have a controlled environment. I don't have to get the interview at CES. It's cool, but I'll be honest with you. When I looked at the entire scope of doing the show and what I spent every year and what we have been getting back in return, the math, the connections still, that's why I'm going for the connections. The connections I make with these companies is fabulous, but it's changed. And I'm going to try a different strategy this year again to see if this works better or not. But, you know, I'm $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 in to doing an event. And in years past, it's been money well spent. From a content standpoint, doing live, the sponsorship stuff, that's all been good. But we're starting to see some new opportunities present themselves. And I'm going to kind of let that play out. In that, I've been asked to do some live events at some other vendors' booths. Come in and do an hour or two here, an hour or two there. And I think that from a cost perspective and connection perspective, this may end up being a better way to go. And have you noticed, I've limited my time in Las Vegas this year. I did that on purpose and kind of get burned out on Vegas just a bit. So I'll be probably leaving a little bit later for Las Vegas and then almost leaving almost immediately after. I'll weigh that as time comes. Plus, my daughter's getting ready to have a baby. So I'm going to be pre-Christmas stuff. I'm going to be really focused on this new grandchild coming. So I'm going to be probably gone for a couple of days right before Christmas. And then I'll come back and do the quick flip. And then after New Year's, make the jump to Vegas for the show and get out. I haven't even talked to, well, I talked to some of the other team members today. I need to talk to Don about this tomorrow. Don may still decide to do live. And if he does, that's great. They've fully got the capabilities and the systems to come there and do live. And I'm going to support whatever they want to do. That's going to be up to them if they want to bring in a system. But my plan is to get on the airplane with a suitcase and a case with my camera and gear and a tripod and go to Vegas and come back with the same exact stuff. And I'm going to try to look at maybe staying in a different hotel this year, as far as maybe being on the route where the buses are, so I don't have to rent a car. That's another six. You know, so it's really about getting the most value out of the show without, again, going to this big production, coming back and having 2 months worth of work. And I can still do what I want here in the studio with these vendors and trickle them in as I see fit. Now, normally, we do about 100 interviews. I would personally do maybe 30. So I think it just works out better this way. So we'll see. I don't know. I might be making a mistake, but we were going to go full in, but CEA did not give us the location we wanted, and it didn't like the reason. And I think they were mistaken because the area we wanted, the vendor wasn't there the entire show, and we know it. And yet CEA said, oh no, they were there every day, and they weren't. So the location, it's either grow and get bigger or throttle back. And based upon everything, and you know, we'll still bring you coverage, don't worry, because I know the value of it, but it's just going to be different this year. It really, really is. So Kirk, I apologize if you were excited about coming to Vegas. Save your vacation time. Save your vacation time. Because we get some other stuff coming, and maybe you can go to Vegas with me for NAB or something to that effect. So anyway, long story short here, this is the decision I've made for CES this year. And, that's where we're going to go with that. And, you know, I've done my duty at that show. You know, I've brought, you know, thousands of interviews out of that show. If we look at it from a scope of everyone that we worked with at that event, probably 5,000 interviews has come out of there as a group. And maybe not that many, maybe 4,500, but still, it's a huge, huge, huge number. Hey, one thing I did do today, for those of you that had some problems on the Insider page, it's all been fixed. And Sam, I got absolutely no feedback on the micropayment stuff. So I'm still, you know, I don't know about that model. But the lowest that you can get in that we want you to consider is at the $2 level per month. And then I made some additional options because I know some people had asked about having some split payments. I've adjusted some of the payment levels to make them even money for new subscriptions. So it really, there's something there that goes 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And then, of course, if you want to go higher, there's some options. And then single time, one-time donations, or of course, ability to send a check. So the Insider program, I believe, is something I'm going to be putting some time into, and I want you guys to consider becoming an insider. So those of you that are already, thank you. And we're going to add a segment to the show where we make sure we thank you at every show like we have in the past. So that's on part of the change here that we're going to make. Okay, so I've talked enough. Let us get into the content. Let me get the first stack of stuff here. You know, I MoviePass, the folks over there, they must be discouraged because it's changing its service yet again. It's going to significantly limit which films customers can see on any given day. In a letter to its users, which I haven't seen, the company began sending out, it said its transitions to the new subscription plan became imposing yesterday, limiting monthly subscribers to just 3 films per month. It will offer a limited selection of movies and showtimes each day. And during the transition period, MoviePass will offer up to 6 films to choose from daily, including a selection of major studio first-run films and independent releases. In addition, showtime availability may be limited depending on the popularity of those films on the app that particular day. So what they're doing here is, you know, they're idiots, but they're giving you Remnant. So you're going to be able to go see a movie real early in the morning. You're going to go see non-prime time. You're going to get availability on non-prime time times. It's going to publish a daily list at least a week in advance. So it's annoying. It really, really is. And if they're just at this point, they are doing everything they can because they're out of cash. There's no more surge pricing. I think that's all gone. So instead, what they're doing is they're tightening the fist. And I guess they figure that they are kind of, this is what they have to do to survive. And it was great while it lasted. And being able to go see any movie at any time. But it just burned too much money. So we're making a decision in this household whether we're going to continue with it or not. It was fun while it lasted, I guess. So time will tell. Have you quit your movie pass selection yet? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. With that, Amazon has really made a name for itself for original content. Although I must admit that I have been watching more Netflix. The Amazon menu sucks because it's got intermixed Showtime, HBO. It's all intermixed in there and it's driving me crazy. And so finding the Amazon original stuff is just menu-wise is not as clean as finding the stuff on Netflix. And even Netflix pigeonholes you sometime into certain content. You got to dig and dig and look. I just want to see the new stuff. Show me the new stuff, the stuff that you created. Give me all the new movies. What's hot? What's not? You know, give me 20 to pick from. If I want to go into the sci-fi category, show me only sci-fi stuff. There's a lot of junk sci-fi. There really is. I catch a good one every once in a while. But Amazon is interesting in acquiring Landmark Theaters. Now, the movie theater chain is largely shows foreign and independent films at its 50 locations. I don't think there's a Landmark Theater here in Hawaii. If there's, I'm not aware of it. But they're looking at picking that up. And it makes a lot of sense here. If they want to, it just makes a lot of sense. And now the question then is, if you're a Prime member, do you go in for free? What's the model? If you can watch these on your on streaming, if they buy a movie theater chain, does that mean all Prime members again get in for free and they just make money on the popcorn or what? They have merchandising opportunities. What's the angle here? So I'm kind of curious about it. Now, my friends who shop at Whole Foods told me about the link. You can basically link your Whole Foods account to your Amazon account, and it automatically will save you 10% when you go to Whole Foods. I haven't been in a Whole Foods in probably 3-4 years at least. I had to laugh. My daughter said, I'm going to Whole Foods. I'm like, you're going to drive all the way across the town to go to Whole Foods? No. We got like an equivalent one that's close to us here, and it's not Whole Foods. It's a spinoff of it. And I'm like, you know, that place is expensive, right? Cheap Charlie me. But so anyway, we'll see what happens with this deal with them thinking about buying a movie theater chain, even if it's only 50 theaters. I'm still using a PC. I'm still using, of course, I'm mostly Mac now, but I'm packing up my bags here to get ready to go on travel. And I have a Mac loaded and a PC loaded. So I'm taking both. Ironically, the PC is what I'm doing my audio editing on. Don't ask me why. That's what it is. I do the show production on the Mac, but all the audio recording and editing happens on the PC. Yeah, it's weird. I know, but it's me. And so I've got some stuff for you Windows users a little later, but there's a cool article that talks about 15 free open source Mac apps you must install. And there's a few in here that I really love. CyberDuck is one. This is one I've actually got loaded already for you Mac users. If you're not using CyberDuck, this is a great way to connect to your S3 Amazon bucket. It comes with a product called Cryptomator as well. I wasn't familiar with this. I'm going to have to look at that. But Skim PDF Reader is another good one for those of you that are using Macs or looking for a little bit of better experience reading a PDF file. This is a weird one they recommend. It's called BibDesk, and I don't know why. Because, well, maybe it's for students. It says creating a bibliography. I destroyed that. It's a tough job. It's easy to make formatting errors. That's where the BibDesk app can help. So, all right. BibDesk. That was an odd one. Self-control is where we can put apps in a penalty box. We've talked about Katana in the past. It's a simple screenshot utility. But anyway, some cool free ones here. For those of you that are Mac users, you can check out. Hey, one thing I want to mention too. Are you a good writer? Really good writer? I'm looking for potentially another writer for Raw Voice for my podcasting company. This would be a contract job. And this would be purely for doing a lot of editorial stuff within our system. So you have to know a little bit about podcasting. If you're a good writer, drop me an email. I may have a spot for you to do some, by the hour freelance work. So just let me know. And I do, again, this is someone that can work independently, someone that has a very deep knowledge of the podcasting space. Give me a ping here. Let me know. All right. It's todd@blueberry.com is where you would send that email to. All right. All right. Moving on here. YubiKey. You guys remember YubiKey? You know, I've got a YubiKey around here. So, matter of fact, I think I got two of them somewhere. And they're in a bag or I don't remember actually initiating them. But I think we talked about these as early as like 2011, 2012. Well, of course, we've already heard about the DNC getting hacked, and I think they were using Gmail. But did you know that the President Obama's campaign used YubiKeys for protecting their logins during the 2008 and 2012? Well, it must be. YubiKey must have been as early as 2008 and 2012 elections as a defense against hackers. This was an announcement made by Yubico CEO founder Steina, Ernsbard. She makes this quote, "The woman who tried after him did not, and you can see the results." She was at Black Hat. So interesting. You know, a security key is a useful tool. And it's really it's such that a hacker would need both your password and the physical YubiKey itself to log into your accounts. You know, Google's boasted since it adopted security keys, none of its employees have fallen victim to account takeover. And Google plans to start offering a device it's built. It's called the Titan Security Key to the public sometime in the next few months. This is exciting to me because I will require all of our employees to have the Titan Security Key and make it available for my entire team and to lock down our email and systems as well. Just an additional layer besides two-factor authentication. But pretty cool. Yubico. YubiKey is in the news today, and we haven't talked about them in many, many, many years. Some Australian teenager, he stole 90 gigs of private data from Apple servers. So a Melbourne Australian teenager is facing criminal charges as they kicked his door in. Supposedly, he did this out of love, his lawyer says, because he admired the company and dreamed of working there. He managed to download 90 gigs of secure files and customer accounts, although it's unclear exactly what part of the network infrastructure he accessed. He reportedly developed multiple backdoors and evaded detection up until a raid on his parents' home exposed a bunch of stolen files and instructions, saving a folder very obviously named Hacky Hack Hack. The Australian police also seized two laptops, a phone, hard drives from the team. He also apparently relied on some sort of software to help him inside, but again, it's not clear what functions the software served. He has pleaded guilty. How old is this teenager? Do they say how old he is? They do not say his age, but it's so simple that a teenager could hack you. That's pretty sad there, Apple. Of course, anything can happen these days. You just never know. Apparently, Google employees are pushing back on the censored Google search engine. Oh, so Google employees are protesting. A letter was passed around and it's been signed by approximately 1,000 employees. They say, in quote, "We urgently need more transparency, a seat at the table, and a commitment to clear and open processes. Google employees need to know what we're building." The letter said it also asked the company to let employees be part of its ethics review and publish ethical assessment of projects that are seen as controversial. The letter said Google's willingness to work within China's censorship laws raises urgent moral and ethical issues, and employees currently don't have the information needed to make an ethically informed decision about our work, our projects, and our employment. Well, here's the simple fact, Google employees. They are going to work with the Chinese and allow them to censor content that'll be shown within that search engine. It's simple. This is not complicated. They haven't told you because they didn't want anybody to know. All right, it's pretty simple here. So Google chief Sundar Pichai told employees that the search engine for China is in a very early stage and is an exploratory project. We are not close to launching a search project in China. He apparently said, according to a transcript Bloomberg obtained, and whether we would do so or could do so is also very unclear. Okay. There. In damage control. All right. How many times have you did a Google search and you're looking for, let's say, let's use a common, what do you guys like from peanut butter? I grew up on Jif. Some of you grew up on Skippy. Some of you grew up on natural peanut butter. I'm a Jif guy. I recently tried Skippy and decided I still didn't like it. So you could go to Google now and you can go Jiffy versus Skippy, or quartz versus granite, or Avion versus whatever. So you can do a product comparisons versus. And so Google has made some new search results, and they're basically their write-up here is, imagine you're remodeling your kitchen and you want information about how quartz compares to granite for your new countertop. So you can do quartz versus granite to come up with some detailed benefits, weight, durability, everything you kind of need to know, kind of a quick and dirty type of response. You can do a little... get a little information in there. So it'll be cool to start doing some of these comparison searches and see what the results are. But something new that Google is adding. Astronauts snapped a pretty mind-blowing Aurora Borealis picture. If you've never seen the Aurora Borealis yourself, it's truly remarkable. And I must admit, the pictures are quite stunning. It's almost more stunning from the ground. If you're on the ground and see that, of course, we call them the Northern Lights. But it is pretty cool what the astronauts get to see. Get a front row seat to all kinds of cool stuff going on in the atmosphere. So, again, Aurora Borealis. And cool pictures up on space.com. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Today, we lost the Queen of Soul, a pioneer and legend by many definitions, R&B singer. Aretha Franklin's, and I'm going to tell you, she there's hardly a song that she ever put out that was that I never, you know, awesome music, right? And had a little streaming going on today, and they were doing a little tribute tour and playing a series of her songs and getting down on it. And NASA also reminded everyone that there's an asteroid, 249516, is actually named Aretha, and was named after her a number of years ago. And they want to remind everyone that is out there in orbit around Mars. I guess that's the path of this thing. Well, actually, it looks like it's around Earth too. But anyway, the Queen of Soul, no longer with us, singing in heaven. All right, Twitter. Oh my gosh, Twitter, 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 Twitter. The company is they are just making all kinds of decisions. In an email it shared today, Twitter cited technical and business constraints that it can no longer ignore as being the reason behind their API shutdown. It said the clients relied on legacy technology. It was still in a beta state after more than 9 years and had to be killed. So if you have Tweetbot or Twitterific, sayonara, they're done. They're killing them. This sounds like passing the buck. And Twitter is the one that decided to give up on some of its oldest, most avid fans, power users, and developer community that met their needs in hopes of shifting everyone over to its own first-party clients instead. So there was no API replacement. Yeah, it was an old API, but there was nothing for them to move to. The company even dismissed how important these users and developers have been in the community over the years. A lot of these apps built the Twitter community. They basically are thumbing their nose at them. The community isn't that big, but had a pretty small, powerful group of folks. And they're done. So not good news here. So if you like the TweetDeck app, the app that Twitter acquired and shut down, well, too bad. Not a lot of options here, to be quite frank with you. So bad news for those of you that like those third-party apps from Twitter. And you know, and Twitter is, you know what it is? It's kind of like they wanted all this help to build the community. They got to the point where they were growing fast. And then they said, oh, we're going to start taking stuff away. And over the years, they've taken away functions and not made it as easy to use with third-party apps. So they really did thumb their noses at those groups. And, you know, and I've got a saying for that, but I can't say it here on the show because it breaks the, it's basically, beep you very much, right? And, it's too bad. It really is what they've done here and the decision that they've made. They just want everything pipelined into their system. Google's revised their erroneous description on its website and how its location history settings works, clarifying that it continues to track users even if they disable the setting. How's that make you feel, Android users? The change came 3 days after the AP revealed that several Google apps and websites store users' location even if the users have turned off the location history. Google has not changed its location tracking practice in that regard. Just telling you now that they're still tracking you even if you turn location data off. Its help page for location history setting now states, this setting does not affect other location services on your device. It also acknowledges that some location data may be saved as part of your activity on other services like search and maps. Previously, the page stated, with location history off, the places you go are no longer stored. This statement contrasted with a statement Google sent to the AP several days ago that said in part, we provide clear description of these tools. Well, obviously they didn't. But the notion of having two distinct ways in which you control how your location data is stored is confusing even now. The AP says, I can't think off the top of my head of any major online service that architect their location privacy settings in a similar way. And we know that tech companies are under huge, huge scrutiny over their data practices and what they're collecting on us. So this is a problem for those of you that are Android devices. Go back, review the last show notes, if you missed the show, and make a determination if you want to use certain apps to have your location data stored, okay? In the Wall Street Journal, the president is being reported seeking to relax rules on U.S. cyber attacks and reversing the Obama administration's directive. So the administration has faced pressure to show that it's taking serious national security cyber threats. So the president has reversed an Obama-era memorandum dictating how and when the U.S. government can deploy cyber weapons against its adversaries in an effort to loosen restrictions on such operations, according to people familiar with the action. The president signed an order on Wednesday reversing the classified rules known as Presidential Policy Directive 20 that had mapped out an elaborate interagency process that must be followed before U.S. use of cyber attacks, particularly those geared at foreign adversaries. The changes was described as an offensive step forward by an administration official briefed on the decision, one intended to help support military operations, deter foreign election influence, and thwart intellectual property theft by meeting such threats with more forceful responses. The administration is also devising new penalties that would allow stronger responses to state-sponsored hacks of U.S. critical infrastructure. Although Obama-era policy was classified, its contents were made public when it was leaked in 2013 by Edward Snowden, the traitor that many people cheer about. So some lawmakers have raised questions in recent months about whether U.S. Cyber Command, the chief agency responsible for conducting offensive cyber missions, has been limited in its ability to respond to alleged Russian effort to interfere in U.S. elections due to layers of bureaucratic hurdles. Anything that's to do with IP is purely bureaucratic. You think about this for a second. Think about the decision change that goes into a military operation where you're actually going to drop a weapon on somebody or something or some target. They are so concerned these days about collateral damage that, you know, it has to go pretty high up in the food chain before a strike is authorized. Because they don't want to, you know, obviously we don't want to kill civilians, right? We don't want to kill people that are innocent. So, and, you know, the post 9/11 conflict has been going on so long, they have to be careful. So now think about doing a reverse cyber attack. Think about this going digitally. And while nothing's getting blown up per se, the action of a cyber team could put regular internet functionality at risk. You know, could slow down sites, slow down the internet. It's hard to say what could happen, to be honest with you. So I can imagine that the bureaucratic controls on that is probably pretty extensive, and it makes you really think, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to really get like the lowdown on that, get the back brief to see what they're actually using? Wouldn't it be cool to actually see some of these tools that they have access to and see how it works? I think anyone that is into computers and are young, and I think cybersecurity is a very exciting field. You're definitely going to have a job for life if you become employable and are able to, you know, meet the challenges that type of a job brings forth, not only in the military, that banking, you know, almost any major finance, almost any major company now has some sort of cyber reaction team, you know? Maybe not someone that's like actually doing offensive stuff. Maybe a lot of it's defensive. But if you're good, you can write your ticket these days. So I think it's a great field. It's a great field to go in, especially if you have some, you know, some skills per se. Moving on here, there's a good article on foreignpolicy.com talking about a botched CIA communication system which helped blow the cover of Chinese agents. And this is a number of years ago. This article says it was considered one of the CIA's worst failures in decades. Over a two-year period starting in 2010, Chinese authorities systematically dismantled the agency's network of agents across the country, executing dozens of suspected U.S. spies. And how were the Chinese able to roll up the network? Well, everything's controlled by the state. But it, according to this article on foreignpolicy.com, it appears the agency botched the communication system it used to interact with its sources, according to five current former intelligence officials. The CIA had imported the system from its Middle East operations, where online environments was considered less hazardous and apparently underestimated the Chinese ability to penetrate it. Apparently, the attitudes, we got this, we're untouchable, said one official who, like the others, declined to be named. The former official described the attitude of those agencies who worked in China at the times as invincible. But the penetration of the communication system seems to account for the speed and accuracy with which the Chinese authorities moved against agents and assets in China. You could tell the Chinese weren't guessing. Said they were always pulling in the right people, and they would end up dead. When things started to go bad, they went fast. The former official said the real number of assets and those in their orbit executed by China during the two-year period was around 30. Through some sources spoke of higher figures. The New York Times, which reported the story last year, put the number more than a dozen. Wow. All of the CIA assets detained by Chinese intelligence around the time were eventually killed. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. See, they catch spies here. They put them in jail. And if they're foreign nationals, they get traded out. We don't shoot anybody here. But the Chinese don't mess around. They just bullet to the head. Pop, pop. And they're done, you know? So, a botched communication system. My, oh my, oh my. Makes you go, doesn't it? All right, Skype preview for Android will soon relay SMS messages from your PC and your Mac. Well, this is cool. So you can send SMS with Skype from your PC and your Mac. All right. That's something that's coming to a new version of Skype soon. Microsoft Edge beta for Android is rolled out. Breaking news alerts and more. Well, who uses Edge on Android? Please. No one uses an Edge browser on an Android. Please, if you do, tell me how come. If you're using Microsoft Edge for Android, please email the show. Please, please, please email me and tell me why you're using this. I'll be frank. I'm just kind of like, really? What is the global market share of that? 0.1%? If you live at the spaceship in Apple Park in Cupertino, well, when it's time for lunch there, whoops, let me flip this back. When it's time for lunch there, they open these doors that are big enough to roll an aircraft into. It's like opening hangar doors, big glass windows that opens up the restaurant area. I'm looking at this. This is pretty amazing. When you just kind of see this video, how much did those doors cost? I mean, like, really? Tim Cook tweeted about it, pretty proud about it. Lunchtime at Apple Park just got a whole lot more exciting. Yeah, they opened up the door so that the flies can come in. That's what they do. And let the air conditioning out. Oh, man, funny stuff. best rewards cards for funding your family's next vacation. Well, personally, I think airline cards are about the best. If you charge everything, everything on your airline's Visa card and get those miles, you can rack up very easily a free ticket every year. Almost a free ticket every year. At least one free ticket. And we do that here. But some of you may be looking for resort awards. So if you are, you might be using a Disney business card or a hotel reward card. Now, you know, I stay in hotels a lot, so I rack up a lot of points. I've used a lot of points in recent times. So my point counts are way down, both on the Hilton and the Marriott side. But you can earn 50,000 Hilton Honors points by spending $1,000 in the first 3 months. 50,000 points is enough for a one room in a medium level Hilton for a day. That's enough for one free day. And all you got to do is spend $1,000 on their credit card. Now, I don't recommend you go out and open a bunch of credit cards, okay? But just remember, you can pay for hotel rooms and for rental cars with airline points, too. I think rental cars are pretty good value with airline points, but not, or airline miles, but not hotels. It kind of runs the gambit. And also remember, on international travel, some cards will charge you a 3% fee on purchases. Just be careful of that. So make sure the cards that you use on international travel are not whacking you. So look at your terms and service or call your credit card company. But anyway, have a link in the show notes on some suggestions here. The vice president's name is invokes a top search result that leads you to a parody site. And official MikePence.com is not the vice president's official page. It is a parody page. So just be aware, if you're searching for the vice president's name, that you might want to look for his. Oh, and I don't even know what his real website is. Might want to just search for vice president of the United States. That might get you to the right location. Hey, the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, knew there was no denial of service attack, but stayed quiet on purpose. He said he doubted the claims the FCC's comment system had been taken down by a cyber attack, but adds he was asked to keep quiet until a full report was made. That's the story, and he's sticking to it. In a testy exchange between Pai and Democratic Senator Brian Schwartz of Hawaii, Pai said he had doubts but kept quiet because the IG office asked him to do so while it referred the matter to the Department of Justice for a criminal investigation. He said, "I made a judgment, even though I knew I'd be falsely attacked." So we all knew this was the case. All right, 7 cool Bluetooth do-it-yourself projects. You can upgrade some old gadgets. The one I like the most, and I don't know if you can actually buy this. Do you guys know if you can buy a Bluetooth device for old wired headphones? Well, this particular hack or this little project lets you do that. If you have a pair of old wired headphones that are broke, don't throw them out. There's a cool do-it-yourself tutorial shows you how to turn them into wireless headphones by adding a Bluetooth while also giving you a new plug to connect to a standard 3.5 millimeter cable. It's a little project there. Also, there's the ability to add Bluetooth to any car stereo. There's a hack out for that. There's even some stuff for smart Bluetooth helmet inserts. So these are all cool little Adreno type of projects you can do. So I like these little do-it-yourself projects. These are a lot of fun. If I had more time, to be honest with you, I'd play around with more of this stuff. I just don't have time. I guess I'll be able to play around with this stuff when I'm officially retired, whenever that is. Probably, you know, I think I get to retire when I die. So, but anyway, very, very cool stuff here. Link will be up in the show notes on these little cool projects. Also, how are you backing your data up to the cloud? What are you doing today? Well, there's some good suggestions here in our article over on lifehacker.com. I'll have a link up in the show notes. There's a rumor that the iPhone SE 2 is going to be coming to market. There's been some spec leaks and also a release date. So if you're interested in the iPhone SE 2, I'll have that up in the show notes. Also, NASA has released a picture of the Muppet on Mars. Yes, if you look at this satellite picture, it definitely looks like a Muppet. Yes, the Muppets on Mars. You can detect anything if you look long enough. You really, really can. Also, if you rent cars from Hertz, the Hertz folks has a 100th anniversary edition Chevrolet Corvette Z06 that you can rent for $195 a day, but you can only drive it for 75 miles. After that, it costs you 75 cents a mile to drive it. So if you want to drive the Chevrolet Corvette Z06, I'll be honest with you. Wouldn't this be a blast to drive for a day? Wouldn't this just be fun? You're going to rack up some miles. Doggone it, I keep doing that. You're going to rack up some miles, but so what? It's got to be a fun car to drive, right? I don't think I've ever drove a Corvette. Of course, you may end up with a speeding ticket before the day's out too. So that might be the cost of the rental included. But anyway, they're going to buy 100 of these and they're going to make them available only for a few months before they sell them again. All right. There's a poll out that says there's little support for the president's space force. And I hear them talking about that. And that's the only one that makes me scratch my head a little bit. Are we really talking about putting military people in space? We already have non-air breathers. Non-air breathers are satellites. That's how the guys in the military refer to them. We already have non-air breather assets in space. Do we really need, and it's, you know, that's all controlled by various, mostly the Air Force and their associated agencies. So do we really need a space force? I don't know. To me, it's just a little bit weird. Although I do like, in this image, they got a picture of a guy that's wearing a patch that says Space Shuttle Door Gunner. So I like the patch. I think that would be cool to score. There's a report out that Google is close to finalizing lease for its first flagship retail store. And apparently it's going to be on the Magnificent Mile somewhere, or maybe in Chicago's Fulton Market District. Excuse me. A 14,000 square foot retail flagship store. That's pretty big. The store will reportedly be located between 845 and 853 West Randolph Street. They got a picture of it. They got a little work to do. This is if they're gonna lease this, that's not Google ready for sure. So we'll see what they come up with, but those of you that live in the Windy City may have this coming to you soon. Our good article in Computer World, how to protect your privacy in Windows 10. If you're worried about privacy issues in Windows 10, there's some good selections on how to turn off ad tracking, turn off location tracking, turn off your timeline, put Cortana in a box. I'm looking down here. Did Cortana respond? Nope. Talk about ditching your Microsoft account for a local account, app permissions. It goes on and on and on and on. A whole bunch of stuff on privacy. So if you're a Windows 10 user and you want to lock your machine down a little bit, good article for that. Director Tony Kaye, and I don't really know who this guy is. He's put out a casting call for robots. So one of his next films, director Tony Kaye, who did American History X and Lake of Fire, needs a robot, but rather than using computer-generated graphics, he wants an AI robot, an actual one. So the robot Kayan has in mind would be one trained in various acting methods and techniques. I think he's going to have to stick with computer-generated graphics, to be kind of honest with you. It might be a little bit early. All right, we got some friends that listen to the show in Arizona. Self-driving cars will serve many purposes in addition to driving us in total comfort. Autonomous vehicles can be used for delivering things such as groceries. And now Kroger is testing that out in Arizona. Those who are in a select area, specifically the 85257 zip code, can use order groceries to try out the service. They'll have to order through Fry's. Why did I talk about Fry's? Fry's is not. Does Fry's and Kroger have a relationship? To try out the service, they'll have to order through Fry's website or app. They can have the order delivered on the same day. This must be for Fry's stuff. Now, let me look at this. Kroger self-driving pilot has been launched at one of, Fry's food store. Okay. When I think of Fry's, I think of Fry's electronics. All right. So Fry's food store location in Scottsdale, Arizona. It will let customers receive groceries through a new row self-driving cars. Kroger wants to bring more customers convenience, affordable grocery delivery. I'm all about that. Sign me up for grocery delivery. Let me just shop and have that brought to the house. Credit Karma. We've heard about Credit Karma ads for many, many years on everywhere. And I've always been kind of this, like, rolled my eye anytime I've heard a Credit Karma advertisement. They've acquired a mortgage platform called Approved. Well, now that they've got all your credit scores, they know who to market to. Oh my gosh. So Credit Karma knows who's got that 800 and who's a low risk, and they can offer them a loan because they've got their credit score. Seems like a little bit of conflict of interest, doesn't it? All right, Facebook's birthday fundraisers have raised over $300 million for nonprofits. A small useful feature is doing a lot of good. And the birthdays fundraisers in which users can request that their friends donate to a cause for their birthday has raised over $300 million for more than 750,000 nonprofits. I wonder if we can make Geek News Central a nonprofit and have... So this isn't the only fundraising option users have. They can also start pages to raise money for charity, for example. But the clear success of birthday fundraisers make sense. People love Facebook birthday reminders. So you can donate to a charity. I think this is the weirdest story I've heard in weeks. Scientists have solved the spaghetti mystery. Scientists spend a lot of time breaking dry spaghetti noodles. They're trying to stop them from, like, snapping and bouncing away. Because usually when a spaghetti noodle breaks, it doesn't break in half. It bounces out one piece. Have you ever done that? I do this when I cook spaghetti. I get the pot hot and boiling, and I take the spaghetti and a big group of it, and I rip it in half because I don't want the whole piece to go in the pot. I want two halves. And of course, those little pieces fly everywhere. Well, they say if you can twist the spaghetti and break it, you won't get those little pieces. It'll break directly in half. That was actually a thing the scientists were looking at. How do you get paid to do that kind of science? That's the question I have. All right, are you using Android 9? Well, there's 20 fast fixes for common Android 9 Pi problems. So apparently there's a bunch of issues out there. This solves a bunch of them, all right? 20 fast fixes. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for you Android users. Final story of the night. Microsoft Surface laptop is on sale for $699 at Amazon. This is a $300 discount. Link will be up in the show notes. Let's see if I've gotten any comments that have come in. I have not. So we're going to wrap the show up. Just over an hour and 4 minutes at this point. I want to thank Rita. She says, hey, Rita says, if you're using Edge on Android, may I ask, what are you consuming? Rita also says, what do you expect? The Chinese were not playing around. No, it's communist China. You mess up over there, you just get shot. And they throw in a hole. That's what they do. All right, Rita, what was beep? Oh, Twitter beep you too. Oh, yeah. RIP Twitter Deck app. Yep. TweetDeck app. All right. A little punchy tonight. Sorry. No more video. Next 4 episodes, audio only, no live shows. My schedule's going to be nuts. So if you don't see the show like Tuesday morning normally, don't worry. It'll come Tuesday. Or same type of thing. If I have to do the show in the morning Tuesday because I work too late on a Monday night and doing meetings and so forth, just be aware. They're coming. Just the schedules might be a little weirdo. And if that's the case, then I'll add a little extra stuff from what Kirk has. He's going to do the show prep at the normal time, Monday and Thursday night. And then I'm going to knock it out as I can at the time I can. And if it means that I do record the show at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday or 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, whatever it is, that's what's going to happen. So just be aware and then just keep your podcatchers going. And we'll your telltale sign that there's been a new episode out will be the email that will come with the newsletter. So I would expect the road shows to be a little shorter. They always are. They're usually about 45 minutes or so. Because I'm so busy with everything else, we don't spend a lot of time at the beginning of the show just chit-chatting like we do here. But, you know, again, a lot of stuff to talk about today, a lot of feedback. If you guys got feedback for me, I'd appreciate it. It's been my pleasure bringing a show today. I'm going to get out of here, get this thing wrapped up. Got to get a haircut tomorrow. I'm my hair on top is getting a little wild. But that's okay. You guys won't see me for 2 weeks anyway. All right, so back in the studio, let me just give you the date and when we'll be back live again is on the Monday show, Labor Day, the 3rd. Probably no show on Labor Day. So we'll do 2 normal shows every week, but on Labor Day, the 3rd, I get back, there won't be. So probably the next live will be September 6th. Holy smoke, where is this year going? Totally amazing. Don't forget about GoDaddy. Don't forget about considering becoming an insider. Your support at this time is critical. We're making a push here if you haven't noticed. All right, everyone, thanks so much. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.